Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman. Welcome to the show. I'm going to start out with a video narrated by Ammon Bundy about his life on the ranch and how it was established.
And I grew up on a family cattle ranch in southern Nevada, established by our great-great-grandfathers in 1877. We were raised in humble circumstances in the same little ranch home as our father, Clive Bundy, built by my grandfather Dave in the 1940s. For five generations, our family has run cattle along the Bunkerville Mountain. Our ancestors were the first pioneers to settle in the southern Nevada desert. They carved their living out of leveling and farming land next to the Virgin River and ran cattle on the hills. Their homesteads were established before Las Vegas had even one person living in it. Nevada had only been a state for 13 years. Discovering multiple springs on the foothills of the mountains, our forefathers began to build water troughs and holding tanks to supply water for cattle. This made it so that cattle did not have to travel too far for water. In the arid desert where a ranch is, it takes approximately 100 acres to feed one cow. In his lifetime, my father has improved upon this watering system by installing pipes throughout the lower hills from 11 different water sources over a 30-mile span. This has allowed the cattle to benefit from feed in areas where otherwise they could not live because they would have to walk too far for water. This has also greatly benefited the desert wildlife and made hunting and camping plentiful. As a true environmentalist, my father, by expanding the water system and caring for the land and the road, has tremendously promoted wildlife, increased game, improved camping, and generally made the area more enjoyable to be on. Even the desert tortoise would thank Clive and Bundy for the water close by if they could speak. All of this is done at my father's expense and effort, costing the taxpayers nothing. With his banged-up Dodge pickup, my father would spend many days a month blowing out the water lines with air and repairing the leaks, making sure each water tank was always full. My family has brought life to the southern Nevada desert for over 100 years. Imagine what would happen to all the wildlife if this watering system was not maintained or if it was destroyed. Before I move on, it is important that you have a little more background about the legality of our water and grazing rights. In 1890, the state of Nevada created a registry so that ranchers and others could deed their water and grazing rights. In Nevada, as with other western states, the livestock water rights include title to graze. Each deed in print designates how many cattle the owner of the deed is typically grazing around the water. This is the way grazing rights are recorded and protected by the state of Nevada. Just to be clear, these livestock grazing and water rights are vested property, much like mineral rights or deeded rights to your home. These grazing rights are real property. They can be sold, traded, wild against, or adversely taken. They are the lifeblood of our ranch and are a valued heritage to our family. Many people have desired to purchase them over the years, but my father has chosen to remain raising cattle in the desert. Without these stock water grazing rights, our ranch has almost no value. My father owns 11 of these stock water grazing rights, deeded with the state of Nevada. In the early 1990s, the Bureau of Land Management, also known as the BLM, an agency of the executive branch, tried to trespass my father for grazing cattle on our deeded range, where my family has run cattle for 138 years. The BLM adopted an extreme environmental no-cattle policy designed to remove all ranching from the land. On the wall of the Southern Nevada BLM District Office, they displayed their motto. It read, "No move by 92, cattle free by 93. Seeing their intent to destroy his ranch, my father stood on the fact that his ranch was inside the boundaries of the state of Nevada, that the federal agencies are violating the constituted laws between the state and the federal government, and that he owns deeded right to graze and water his cattle, established over a century ago. When agents from the Bureau of Land Management told my father that the federal government does not recognize his grazing rights and that my father must remove his cattle, he told them that they had no authority to take his family's heritage away. when they said they were going to take it away anyway, he said no. And then he said, hell no. Several times the Bureau of Land Management tried to drag my father into federal court so they could strip him of it.
Basically, in a nutshell, that's the story that the Clive and Bundy was, I see the callers who are here, it's Don, it's Albert and Ben. So basically, I just want to cover one basic point. Hopefully that was through my land phone and you understood intensely with good volume what exactly was being said. In 2014, there was a showdown between Clive and Bundy and the federal government. Clive and Bundy contested that the federal land belongs to the states because of state sovereignty and his grazing title rights. In November 98, a federal judge permanently banned Bundy, whose ranch is located 90 miles north of Las Vegas, from grazing his livestock on a swath of federal land known as Bunkerville allotment, and ordered him to remove his cattle by the end of the month, but he didn't. Instead, Bundy allowed his cattle to graze on even broader areas of federal land by the BLM and National Park Service. In May of 2012, federal attorneys sued Bundy to stop his unauthorized and unlawful grazing of livestock on federal land, which they said contained archaeological sites, sensitive rare plants, a desert tortoise, and threatened and protected species. Officials complained that Bundy had set up corrals and water tanks on public lands and that cattle caused accidents and near misses wandering onto public roads. In 2012, there was a restraining order issued. Federal officials noted that no adequate legal means to address the continuous and persistent unlawful conduct by Bundy. So basically, in his video, he was contending that he helped drain water from the nearby mountains in Bunkerville long before the feds were even there, that he improved the water availability in the area, that some of the water was stored in water tanks, that the cattle and the desert tortoise had more proximity to water. Basically, he's in disagreement with the feds. He shut them down twice. There was two standoffs since 2014, and basically the government backed down twice, but now some of his family members are in custody. I'm pulling in Albert, Ben, and Don all at once. You can say hi in alphabetical order.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Albert. Hi, Ben. Don, you're third.
Why am I third? That's because alphabetical. You always have that. That's racist. I know you're racist.
Because Latinos rule. That's why.
B. Oh, is that what it is? Okay. All right, well,
Don, D for Don, you even come after cattle. You come after buttons. That's pretty shitty of you to say.
That's the wrong thing to say for a guy as a black man in the back.
I do have one thing funny to say, and then I'm going to beeline to Ben. When Ben sent me the video of the Bundy family, I said, what's BLM, Black Lives Matter? And he said, no. It's Bureau of Land Management. And in the back of his head, he probably thought, you dummy. So,
he said that in front of your face.
Okay, Ben, Ben and Albert, did you hear the video okay that I played?
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah.
Good, because it went into the state sovereign land rights, the title granting process, the grazing cattle, and all that other stuff that's really relevant to this case. Why are we talking about this again? Because Ryan Bundy did a public radio interview with a local female DJ, and he brought up some relevant points. So the Bundy family is basically contending that they've broken no laws, which in their mind might be true, but technically, no, they have broken some laws. So, Ben, could you elaborate?
Well, this is a completely political
divide. This case right here, the whole thing was a political case. And why I say that is because you can split down the middle. You can almost see every article that was written about this. You can research the author, and they're political. They'll write slander pieces for their party. And you have to find the opposite to them to figure out what the opposite of the story is. You only get one side of everything. But when the federal government...
On YouTube, people were complaining, and mind you, these are uneducated people for the most part, people who just happened to fall upon this video. They're saying, why did not he pay his federal grazing fees? And why didn't he pay them? Why did he completely ignore the federal government for 15 years?
Well, I think he would argue that if his family was there using the land before the BLM was started, then the BLM really doesn't have a leg to stand on for turning a right into a privilege. If you have forage rights with a ranch, and all of a sudden the government comes in and says, no, that's not a right anymore, that's a licensed privilege, and you must pay a license, there's a good argument to take to court to say, hey, no, this is not a privilege, this is a land right. And that's
what's
in the Constitution.
Well, when Ryan Fundy was talking on the radio, it made sense. But going back into the history, like from many neutral newspapers as well as biased ones, you know, he was ordered to remove his livestock as far back as 1998. The feds gave him plenty. I'm not trying to play the devil's advocate. I'm just stating the fact. The feds gave him a lot of leverage. They gave him warnings, but they technically, even one time when they threatened to remove the cattle, they didn't. So this has been going on
right.
For quite some time, like 20 years.
But federal overreach is still federal overreach if they give you a warning, right?
It is in the moral sense, but who has the authority to usurp them?
Well, the Constitution. That's what their argument was in the beginning. And that's what makes this case political, is who actually opens the Constitution and reads what it says about land and states' rights, and how is anybody going to argue if it's federal land or state land if you're familiar with the Constitution, where it tells what
In my master's program, we did talk about state and federal law and state autonomy. It obviously wasn't for land issues. It was more for other matters, legal matters we discussed. But I'll just read this one quote from the LA Times. The Bureau of Land Management remains resolute in addressing issues involved in efforts to gather Mr. Bundy's cattle, and they are pursuing the matter legally. The Department of Justice has led on any investigation of federal crimes that may have been committed. Our primary goal remains to resolve the matter safely. I guess in Clive and Bundy's mind, he refuses to remove the cattle from his land. He's not going to do it. And the only way he's going to do it is through force. So I guess I need to know how many of his children are in prison, are in jail right now, and is Clive and Bundy in jail too?
Yeah, he is, and I think it's three of his boys. And
Okay, go ahead with any more details that I might have missed.
Okay, the LA Times article you're talking about, you can research that guy, the author, and you can tell which side of the aisle he's on by his other articles. And
his name is Matt Beard.
Yeah. You can go on Twitter, and you can look at other things that he's retweeted and other articles that he's done. He's biased. You can clearly see what he does. And
the LA Times is an international newspaper, or technically it's a national newspaper. Don and I used to work there. I'm not. You can say that, and I can even accept it. But the fact of the matter is you said there's been two mistrials already. So even if they stand on their state sovereignty rights, do you think they have a chance of winning? Ryan Bundy said in his interview, the only chance is a fair jury.
Right, and there's, you know, the judge is creating the court case. She's basically writing the defense for the defense. She's deleting half of the defense. You can't talk about the actions of the BLM. You can't talk about them shooting the cattle. You can't talk about the Constitution at all. So what are they supposed to do? And on top of it, she's telling people who they can have represent.
I accidentally muted Ben. Either Albert or Don is making an inordinate amount of noise in the background. And I believe it's Albert because I tried muting Don.
There was some noise, but I'm in the quiet zone now.
Okay, Don or Albert, do you have a comment based on what he just said? I mean, even on principle alone, Ben, it doesn't mean, let's be frank, even if it was on principle alone and state rights, they still may not win the case. Like you said, it's a political animal. So let's hear from Albert or Don.
Well, you know, I mean, it doesn't, I mean, I guess there's so many politics, but, you know, I mean, what really happened at the end was really terrible, the way the cops reacted and, you know, I mean, the federal government. They came over, they blocked all the roads so, you know, the independent news medias couldn't get in. You had to have a license and be, you know, big news media stations, and you, they weren't letting a lot of people in. They weren't, I'm talking about the last standing.
The last standoff?
Yeah, the standoff. I'm talking about the stand, when it got to the standoff. When it got to that point, it was a lot of BS. You know, and the federal government, you know, I mean, they came over heavily armed and literally tanks. Can't remember what they're called. They're called the MRAD? No, not the... I think they're probably called the MRADs. I don't remember. Anyways.
MRADs.
They're probably the MRADs. I don't remember which ones they bought over. But anyways, they basically bought over tanks. For some reason, I guess they also have not those tents. The same tents that the Army uses, like just to bunker up, they came over. And they set up those kind of tents. I don't know.
It was in Oregon. We all watched the video. I watched the video on PBS Frontline.
Yeah. So I was watching those videos, how they set up those things. They're basically like heavy duty, they're like heavy duty hard
thick
tents.
They're
like Army tents. They were setting up, so they're heavy-duty Army tents, and they set up really fast. When they got there, they weren't playing around. They started really fast. They blocked the roads and everything, and you know things got really intense because they made it intense. There was no, you
so
know.
Let me jump in real quick. It seems like we're getting confused between what happened in Oregon and what happened in Nevada. So the Oregon, they set up a base at the airport. In Nevada, there was a standoff. There was a divide between the BLM and the sheriff's department was in the middle, Metro, and then the protesters. So, and the other thing that's ridiculous about what happened in Nevada was that they set up a free speech zone, First Amendment zone, which was a square made out of orange construction mesh. Does that make sense to anybody else?
I think I saw that on Frontline.
You can protest here. This is your First Amendment square right here. That's what they were telling people. Outside of the square, you have no First Amendment.
I have to tell you something, Ben. It says in this LA Times article that even though the feds claim that he owes $1 million, no tax liens have been levied against Bundy or his ranch at the time that this article was written in January of 2016. So even though they were claiming it, they haven't taken formal action as of a year and a half ago. They may have now. But
well,
he was arrested a month later in February of 2016.
Well, long story short is when you fight with the government, you get shot and you go to prison. So, you know,
Nobody shot the Bundys. They never shot Adam.
No, he was talking about LaVoy Finnegan.
Yeah, but LaVoy was Finnegan was making a mistake. He was overtly contradicting or going against their orders.
He basically said, shoot me.
I'm going to keep doing what I want to do.
Right.
Well, hey, look, check this out. Bundy almost got shot. His car got shot up.
Finnegan.
He was in the car with all those bullet holes in that car.
You have to get your name straight. That was Finnegan's truck. That happened in Oregon.
Bundys were arrested in February of 2016. His sons, Ammon and Ryan, were arrested for interfering with a federal officer and having weapons charges, but that was in Oregon where they were arrested.
And if there was
no warrant to begin with, there wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe in terms of what? For the most part, there are a lot of layers that you're not getting at, and it's because for the most part, we're talking about it was the free speech zone was a welcome. The people insisted on having some place where they could go to just watch this circus act. The second thing is that the Bundys haven't been able to. They haven't cared forever. They never did pay this tax. This is a new tax. The federal government has all the power. There is no usurpation of power when the federal government can change laws and regulations any time at once, and that's exactly what happened. And the Bundys never did conform. But you know, these guys also had a lot of pushback from their local other fellow ranchers. The other ranchers were one, conforming to the taxes, but two, they weren't using the BLM land to the extent the Bundys were. The Bundys were sending their entire herd of like 800 to 1,000 cows out to the BLM. And the other guys, ranchers, they only would send maybe a quarter to a third of their cows out at any one time. So it was just a blatant disregard for the federal government by the Bundys. There were a lot of other
They did for cows. Over 20 years. They were first charged in 1998 with violating federal grazing laws.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have a problem with what you just said. The First Amendment zone was basically a gift from the federal government to those people that were protesting. The Constitution doesn't give you rights.
They insisted on it because they wanted to see.
Okay. But that you cannot put up a zone and say this is where your First Amendment works. The Constitution doesn't give the people rights. It limits the federal government's rights.
Right, but the thing is that the people wanted it because they wanted to see it. There were people from all over the country who came out here, and they needed a place where they could go and be safe to see see all this stuff that was going on, because there was no place that was safe. When the Bundy supporters came through, they were on highway overpasses behind every sign armed. And nobody wanted to come. Only the brave come down and take a look at what was going on until they put up that free speech square.
I understand what Don's trying to say. Ben, we understand where you're coming from. It's not a matter of whether the Constitution's being upheld in reality. Don's just trying to say that the federal government's going to enforce what they want to anyway. Whether these people are, their rights are being violated, they're being mistreated in prison, it's a reality, right?
Exactly. This was not
right, but
the free speech
the Constitution
zone
issue. Go ahead, Don.
No. I was just going to say the free speech zone was built because of the onlookers, the rubberneckers, the people who wanted to see what was going on firsthand, including the reporters. They weren't safe. You know, these guys were, you know,
No, have you watched any of the videos of the law enforcement, the federal law enforcement stopping people on the road and telling them if you want to protest, that's where you have to do it. It's not about the people wanting safety. It's about being put where the government is putting you.
But
and that's
all
what's wrong.
It's all the same thing, Ben. When you have people who are asking the federal government where the safest place is, you know, at first, then everybody, they finally are able to establish, if you've ever dealt with the police or the federal government and organizing rallies or protests or whatever, and when you're in the negotiations, I do it all the time, when they're in the negotiations, everybody is learning on the spot. This is immediate learning is on the job training. So the police are also, you know, in this case, the federal government troops are also learning. And they don't have the faintest idea. You know, that if you listen to everybody talk, nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows how to do their job. And so that's one of the things about the United States. These idiots are running around talking what should be, and nobody knows what should be. But that's exactly what was happening there at that time. We were planning on maybe going down there under the auspices of the NAACP, but we knew that we would have to wear 3 layers of Kevlar if we were going to leave out of there. But the thing is that we wanted to see what exactly was going on in our backyard because it came upon us relatively quickly. Because we've had the Dan sisters, we've had here in Nevada, anywhere in the West Coast, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, you already know that there are going to be land grabs. If you don't have the government trying to take land, you're going to have some private party who's going to try to stronghold somebody's land. So we are not averse to land grab situations. Okay.
Right, but there's a difference between a federal land grab and capitalism. There's a difference between somebody having all that money. If they want to purchase 19,000 acres, if they have the money, they're legally able to do that.
But the problem is when the federal
government gets to write the law book and they say, oh, we need to take 2 million acres for this sage grouse,
right.
It happens left and right. They do it in the name of biology.
That happens not left and right. That's what the whole point is. Is that it's very, very difficult to get land. But then the bottom line to this whole issue is what we should have said. As I said, there are many layers. The bottom line is that that's not his property anyway.
At the beginning of the show before you called in, they cultivated the hills behind their house with water pipes and canals or whatever you want to say.
But they developed
that land before the feds said they couldn't be on there. So they're kind of claiming, like my friend Claire, the Jamaican friend of ours, they said that...
It shouldn't
I know.
Be
can I finish my statement?
Anyway, Indian treaties were broken.
Wait, Don. They said possession is 9/10 of the law. Have you ever heard that? Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Of course.
So basically, they're either going to shoot them and kill them, or they're going to tolerate them.
That's
now,
the
let's
whole
look
point.
At property. Because,
wait. They've been killed. The Indians have been killed. They can't possess the land.
Let's talk about land and property. Let's talk about land and property. Because we were talking, you guys were talking about, you know, where you can protest and where, you know, and you got to do in this area and that and the property, blah, blah, blah. Let's just pretend that, you know, some billionaire, right, buys all the property around your town. So he owns, like, now, like, 99% of that property and says, I'd like you, you can't go to this store. You can't go to this tire shop. You can't go to these places because I own all the property. I bought everything here. I own everything, so you can't do everything. You live in this corner, and you're surrounded by my property now. You can't go anywhere here. So now you're literally stuck in one other area. How would that feel?
Before I pick up my ride, you got to understand one thing. That is Indian. It's supposed to have been Indian land. If they kill all the Indians. And Mexican, too. The treaties that were broken back in the late 1800s. Mm. But so we're talking about this land wasn't supposed to be there.
I'm saying if somebody buys the whole property, like almost all the, let's just say you live in a trailer and somebody comes and buys the whole property around your trailer, everything else around it, and like within 100 miles radius. So now you can't go anywhere near his property, but he owns all the property around you. So you're basically surrounding your little area. You can't go anywhere. How would that feel? How would you feel? Would that be fair?
Exactly, especially when the federal government buys all the property all around you where your cows already are. That's probably how it felt. Because they were using helicopters to go shoot all of his cattle with sniper rifles.
Yeah, let's just say you want to go out and like on the tree. You want to go out hiking, and now you can't go out hiking because some rich guy brought the property, and that was the only place you can go hike in the wilderness. And now the next hiking place is like 1,000 miles away from you.
Well,
so you're like,
what's
you're,
the
you're,
difference?
You're shooting. Yeah.
What's the difference, Albert? If some rich guy buys millions of acres of hiking trails that you're used to going on, and he decides one day that, okay, now I'm going to close it off. Nobody can come on here. That's exactly what the federal government did. Except they didn't buy it. They just absorbed it, and then they just turned it off. They said, okay, this area is closed. So that's what happens, except without the money.
You guys? If your call drops in the next 20 minutes, I can't pull you back in because I'm going to McDonald's. So hopefully your call won't drop.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
Literally.
So that was the problem. That the land rights, once they get absorbed by the federal government, crime you commit is now a federal crime. You have to go to a federal court. And who works for the federal court? The federal judge that are appointed by the people in charge of your life, basically. So anytime you have to fight a case in a federal court on federal land, it's you versus the federal government with all of the chain of command all the way up in your way.
Yeah, and the thing is that, I mean, for most people, they don't even own the land where they buy the house from. So you can go buy a house and, you know, pay your whole life saving into a house, and then some, you know, government or, you know, billionaire or whatever can buy the whole land and say, oh, I'm going to do some construction. Y'all got to move. I own this land, so you got to figure out your way, get the house, you know, pick up your house somehow and take it out of here because this land is mine now. So, you know, and then you're basically, you have to leave. I mean, how that would be unfair either. Yeah, and that's the way, you know. You don't have a choice. It's, you know, if somebody has more money than you, literally, the person with more money can, you know, have you moved out of there, or buy everything, you know, you own, or not even buy anything, you know, even with the government's power, you know, just take it from you. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's just how things are.
Well, it's not. It's not how it's written. It is how things are, but it's not how it's supposed to be. It's not how it's written.
Exactly.
And that's the argument. And we can't keep going back to what was Indian land, what was Mexico. It's all the United States now. We can't be giving land back to France and Spain. Are we going to give Louisiana back? Because, you know, France used to own Louisiana, too. I think our country is pretty set for our outside borders. There's Indian reservations, but they're not locked in. They can benefit
France
by living there if they want to.
France used to own the whole central part of the U.S. The Louisiana Purchase was a big chunk of land from southern Minnesota to Louisiana the federal government bought from France.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't belong to France anymore.
Right, and luckily they control, well, I don't know how much the French, England controls Canada, but the French controlled the Quebec region of Canada for several years, but now England owns it.
Right.
So the thing is it's a mental game in my eyes. You know, the Native Americans, they know in their mind, after I just got done reading about Chief Seattle, that no one can inherently possess the land, even if they own it on paper. The land belongs to God and the people. You know, people can make all the claims they want, and they can also defend it in court, but inherently, we belong to the land. The land does not belong to us.
Right, but you got to remember, that was written by a white guy from Texas.
Really?
Chief Seattle's speech was written by a Texan.
Yeah, the power to exploit is always going to be in the hands of the dominant culture or whoever's ruling the earth. But we still have to fight, and that's what we're here for tonight. Now, I didn't know anything about this stuff until Ben came on the show. And I know Don knows about it because he lives in that state, but I was pretty clueless myself.
Right. Well, you know, I saw all of the articles come out, and no major news station will touch this unless it's supposed to be biased one way. And I've seen all of that. The best reporting I've seen are from people that aren't journalists, aren't professional journalists, people that just talk about it.
The
video.
Fact of the matter is even that lady who was on the radio, the host, she probably wasn't controlled by Clear Channel Network or something. Like, she probably had more leeway than corporate media to interview Ryan Bundy from prison.
Well, it sounded like it was her show. She got to do whatever she wanted.
Well, Forum Publications up here in the Northland, in Minnesota, North Dakota, Forum Publications, they run all the news, the print journalism up here. So they have a lot of control over even what political candidates have endorsed and stuff like that.
Right. Well, the main point that people from the East Coast really aren't clear about is that the federal government owns about one-third of the United States. And if you look at a map, it's all in the West.
Teddy Roosevelt established public lands in the early 1900s. I mean, some ways that's good because some of the public federal land is preserved, and John Muir had a hand in that in California. But I'm sure that they abuse things too. And besides John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt, I really don't know that much about it, besides the National Park Service.
It's a loophole. Basically, I don't think Teddy Roosevelt knew exactly how bad it would get, but he created a loophole that's been abused ever since it was started. You've got a million acres in this state and in that state, here and there, everywhere. They're either taking land back to the federal government for Native American heritage, or the tortoise, or the sage grouse, or, you know, you've got all kinds of, you know, forests that are designated. Every reason you can think of, they're taking millions of acres. Imagine if that happened in Delaware or Rhode Island, if they took all of New York one day. Then it would be an issue that the East Coast could relate to. But if they take the size of Maine out of Nevada, nobody's going to care about it, except for a couple of families.
And let's talk about eminent domain. Now we're talking about that because, you know, the oil company has been going around, you know, drilling oil wherever they want. And if the people that, you know, own the land there don't want to, they just do eminent domain. They threaten them with eminent domain. And they have the power to do that and to take it, you know. And eminent
and that's
domain
not right
got
either.
It's gotten out of control where people with power are using it.
Yeah, if you're okay with it and you take the money, you're selling it. That's okay. But if you're not okay and they take it anyway, that's wrong. That's theft.
Yeah, and they use the government to steal. They use the power of the eminent domain to pull the strings and to steal the land and do whatever they want to do. And it's just horrible, though, you know. And, you know, you see these videos how people have literally gas and their water, they're setting their water on fire, you know. Yeah, and, you know, it's crazy.
I know a guy who's an extreme liberal. He doesn't really call himself a liberal at all. He calls himself a strong Democrat. But if anybody should be upset about this, it would be him, because he lost his house, his childhood home was basically taken with a swath of land in Indiana. And I don't know how he could grow up to become a liberal after that, because he supports everything the Democratic Party does. And if it's in the name of global warming or climate change or whatever the hot topic is of the day, he's all for it. Even though he lost his childhood home, and that devastated their value that his parents put into that place. His brother's the opposite. So it's a state of mind, but it's about half the country.
Yeah.
Some people believe everything they're told, and some people argue with it. You know, skeptics are not always bad.
Yeah, and even if the land is not being taken away from you necessarily, like, you know, somebody's taking your land or somebody's abusing your land or somebody's occupying your land or something like that, even if that's not necessarily happening, there's always the climate control and how, you know, the government, you know, does a lot of, you know, abuse Mother Earth and all that stuff, you know. And, you know, the climate change, you know, the government doesn't value climate change that much and doesn't, you know, do 100%, you know, to climate change. And you see these people losing their homes, over flood by water, you know, levels coming higher than ever before. You know, I mean, talk about Hurricane Irma, you know, the one that just happened, you know, just not too long ago, you know. And whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so people are still losing their land one way or another, you know. And it's funny how, you know, you just, you know, the government's not putting the right regulations, not doing enough to, you know, to protect climate change. And people are losing their house by water, literally, you know.
Right. Hey, Don, are you still there? No, Don.
You guys, I cut myself out of the show and I had to go in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm just listening. I'm almost back to my house, so just I'm going to be on standby for 5 minutes, but I can hear you guys.
Did Don drop off?
I think so.
Let me check. I don't think so. No, he didn't. Don Gallimore.
Probably away from the phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you guys just keep talking for 5 more minutes?
Right. Well, yeah, I wanted Don to hear something, but I read an article that's disappeared now. I have no idea where it went. It's been removed or something. But I read an article a long time ago, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago, that was talking about the BLM, the Black Lives Matter movement, and how that could have been a distraction from the Bureau of Land Management, BLM. And now, if you have 2 browsers, you can Google BLM in Google, and it'll come up with all of the Black Lives Matter propaganda, articles, videos, everything about Black Lives Matter. But if you go to another browser, you type in BLM, and you'll find Bureau of Land Management information. So the article that I read was talking about how BLM, the acronym, created specifically to flood Google with racial matter instead of land. So they tried to just flood the market with Black Lives Matter and hope that it just squeezes Bureau of Land Management out of the picture. And that's what they did with Google. The other search browsers don't do that. What do you think?
Yeah, Google has been known to get a lot into politics. Google owns YouTube, by the way. And so, you know, YouTube is part of Google. But, you know, here's the thing on YouTube, because there's been a new, you know, law in YouTube, you know, and this was like a year ago and sometime, what they're now doing is they're cutting fake news off of YouTube channels, and, you know, channels or how do you say, media channels that are too, too indecent for a public view or something like that. So if you have a, you know, small media station on YouTube where you, you know, do a lot of media and cover the news and whatnot, you know, and your views are viewed too radical or whatever, you know, the case, you can get cut off of YouTube. That's what they've been doing. They've been cutting off a lot of channels a couple of months ago. And of course they've been cutting off also too from Google. But here's the thing too: some of them don't even get cut off completely. There's a thing on YouTube. What they do is, you know, if you're, let's just say you're Black Lives Matter and you're way too racist or whatever, and something like that, what they do is they still let you show your video. Like if somebody searches you on the search menu, they can't find you in the search. But if they randomly search in you, but if they literally type in exactly, you know, the name of the file that you put in the YouTube video, they can find it and they can pop your video. But it'll be a warning sign. They'll say blah 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 warning. Listen, do you still want to do it too? Yes. And then yes, you say you can still watch the YouTube video. But what happens is that when you watch that YouTube video, you can't copy the link. Like you can't copy the link, and you can't prescribe to his channel, and you can't thumbs up, you can't like the link either, and you can't share the link.
Right.
No one wants to share the link either. So you can't share
right,
it, you can't like it, you can't prescribe to his channel, and you're not even allowed to know what the name of his channel is, because his channel is completely blocked off, like it's completely disappeared. So you're just watching the YouTube video, but no, and you can't even see his YouTube channel to find him, to prescribe to him. So, you know, that's exactly what they're doing in YouTube now, and that's disgusting.
Right, and I saw an interview with Sam Harris. He was talking to a computer programmer, and he was in the industry, and he was explaining the algorithms that they put together. and it's all about math. And they can decide what's political. They can make you, they can divert you towards one thing or the other. And they're demonetizing people left and right. So someone can make a good living off of YouTube videos. They can have, you know, tens of thousands of subscribers. And then, you know, one day they're doing great. The next day, half of their videos are missing and they're not getting paid for them anymore. And that's happening all the time. And what else is happening is that the likes and the views, everything is jumbled, and the videos will be all out of order. So you'll click on somebody, the most recent one to be at the top, but you'll have to dig through stuff that's 5, 6, 7 years old to find the newest one. And that's part of their algorithm, too. It's trying to throw people all over the place. And it's not by accident. It's on purpose.
The other stupid thing they do is, in, like, in newspapers, you, like, if you click on an online article, whether it's the Duluth News Tribune or the Chicago Tribune, you have to answer a survey question before you can finish reading the article. Like, you're forced.
Right, and you got...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I consider that intrusive. Like, if the newspaper, I'm sure they're hurting for money, but, you know, sponsored ads are really ridiculous when it comes to the press. Well, everything you have to pay for, just think, even regular television, you have to have a converter box just to watch the basic channels. That was actually changed under the Clinton administration. That converter box was ruled into law, but it didn't go into effect till like 8 years later.
Right, and that's convenient because it looks like the current president did it. They do those things. There's a lot of judges still running around crazy that were appointed by Bill Clinton.
Right, I was reading about a judge the other day. Well, actually, I was reading about Judge Judy. She was like she had a New York jurisdiction for like 32 years before she went on TV. And then for a while, she was the highest paid judge. She was the highest paid actor on television. Like, I think she made $147,000 an episode or something like that. But she used to be just a regular plain old judge and a lawyer with a Juris Doctor, of course. I don't know. I was reading about her because I was on I keep popping up on it. I was on one fucking TV show in my whole life, Justice for All with Christina Perez, and everybody in the country has seen it at least 5 times, including Don and his wife. And it's still airing, and it was on 5 years ago. So that's why I was looking up stuff like that. I got my 15 minutes of fame multiplied over that one dumb episode. And I got paid $50, and it was a fake case. And by the way, I commented on YouTube once under that my video, when I was on that TV show, and they removed the video when I told the truth. I told them it was a fake case and that we had scripted dialogue. And they took it down.
Wow.
Because they didn't want the general public knowing that the court case was scripted.
Wow.
Yeah, if I want to see it again, I have to pay for the episode on Amazon, and I'm not willing to do that.
All right, hey,
so
I'm back now.
Yeah, Don, Ben was looking for you earlier.
Didn't hear me say I've got a ride.
No,
I didn't hear that.
Well, I was preoccupied picking my son up at McDonald's, but what was your question, Ben, for Don?
Okay, well, so this has to do with Black Lives Matter, the BLM acronym. and I read an article that I can't find anymore. I think it was taken down. And that was part of the statement was that I read this article talking about how BLM was selected to cover up the Bureau of Land Management. They basically switched all the information that you get from Google. It used to be if you type in BLM, you get all this stuff about Bureau of Land Management, all the
wow.
acreage, all the land grabs. And then they specifically chose Black Lives Matter, BLM, to cover that up. Because if you have two browsers on a computer, if you have Google, type in BLM, you see what comes up. It's all about Black Lives Matter. If you have another browser other than Google product, you'll type in BLM, and it shows land deals and federal government stuff, articles about land. So it could have been a CIA thing. Who knows?
It could have been a what?
It could have been all designed.
I guess my question is do you really think Black Lives Matter, when they invented the acronym, do you think they consciously...
No.
Do you think, like, the Bureau of Land Management drove to their council meeting and say, here, for $500 more bucks, pick BLM? I mean, there was no conspiracy.
Who made it up?
Nobody
knows.
There could have been a conspiracy in that one or the other of the organizations had either money sent them to them, because having a Google... dedicated site is worth money. So if you've got BLM, Black Lives Matter BLM doesn't have money, but the BLM, federal government, has all the money in the world. So for the most part, they could have said to the Google, to the servers, other servers, to go ahead and use BLM as an acronym for the Bureau of Land Management only. And if you can eliminate all the Black Lives Matter, or they have to put in the whole phrase or whatever the case may be, that could conceivably, and this is just conjecture, be what happened there. But for the most part, I don't believe that either one of them purposefully or at least actively at first wanted to be the original and only BLM as an acronym in a search. But
right, and I'm not talking about deleting. I'm talking about flooding with information. I'm talking about what you get if you type BLM from Google is not what you get if you type BLM in Bing. That's my point. Any other search bar that's not related to Google, you'll get a completely different set of results. And I read an article about this, and I can't find the article now. It's gone. And it described exactly the dates, the times. Like, it laid it all out. It said, here's when the Bunkerville standoff happened. Here's when Black Lives Matter supposedly was born. Doesn't that make sense that they would just flood Black Lives Matter just to hide everything that happened with the land deals and all that? Because it worked. You say BLM now, and nobody knows about Bureau of Land Management anymore. It's all about Black Lives Matter. If you say BLM, they took that over. They own it now. Now you got to be specific if you want to learn about land deals.
Well, the thing, there's nothing. See, you've got to understand one thing, is that, like I said, one has all the money in the world, the other has no money at all. Period. So you're looking at whoever's most powerful eating the smaller prey, and this could easily have been that. It could be where the BLM had that much power and wanted to cover up. This is what you just said is highly plausible. So it could be the BLM that wanted to plug it up, plug up any of the news outlets and have these, you know, people be surrogates. You know, in this case, a surrogate news outlet or a news, well, just the news focus feature.
Right.
That's
well,
completely plausible. I don't think so many people really give a damn. Then, because for the
right,
most
that's
part,
the point. That's what they count on. Most people won't give a damn. They won't even know they've been tricked. But the point is, it could have been anything. The movement that started in Ferguson could have been any acronym. It could have been Hands Up, Don't Shoot. It could have been whatever. But it happened to be BLM. And that's what took over. That's what took over with Google. And we already know Google's connected to the Democratic Party. So is YouTube. If Google owns YouTube, then anything Google wants to do, YouTube has to do. And if Twitter's in there, they have to comply too.
I was just going to conjecture because Google is complicit with the Russian hacking and the advertising, and they were one of the first to join the Koch brothers, American for Prosperity, whole right wing business project. So, you know, I don't know how much Google is democratic or not, but bottom line,
what Zuckerberg? It's his company. It's his
right.
Business.
And I don't know if he's liberal.
Well, he took money from the Russians for political ads.
Exactly. You know, so these people are convoluting. They're convoluting all of their ideas, all of their worth, all of the things that they believe, that they say they believe in. It's they're you know, Donald Trump is the best example of it all. He'll be talking out of both sides of his mouth, out of his ears, you know, out of his asshole. Donald Trump talks out of every hole in his body to make sure that he gets attention. And the point that he's making is irrelevant. There is no point that he ever makes because he doesn't know anything.
Well, Donald Trump punches first, and he punches hard. He's basically a hammer, and everything around him is going to be a nail. If you're born a hammer, then everything's a nail. And that's how he won his election. That's how he runs his. That's how he conducts himself. He says things, and immediately when the words leave his mouth or leave his Twitter account, it draws a red line in the sand, and he takes the brunt first. Everybody attacks Donald Trump first, but after that wears off, then the base, Donald Trump's base, continues the battle. This is what happens. He says things, he gets attacked directly, and then his base is like, well, okay, well, I'm not you over there, so I guess I support what Trump said, even though I would never say that. And this is what's happening. He draws a line in the sand every time he speaks, just about. Not every time. He's given some good speeches, but there's people that will not listen unless
well,
he's divisive.
That's one of the best analogies I've ever heard on him.
What?
I guess,
that
I guess you could call it
nail?
You could call it risk-taking behavior is what he does. Is he already knows. He probably doesn't know, but he takes the risk inherently before he's even criticized because he knows he's going
right.
to be.
Well, he's used to it. He's been attacked for over a year and a half now. He doesn't care because he'll just wait. And
he'll
wait until the fight is at the people.
He's a businessman's Hugh Hefner. So he's going to do whatever he wants to do. And Larry Flint, he's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway. But bottom line is that it's not so much about Trump. It's about BLM, the federal government. And they don't know what they're doing. That's my point. Is
who
that
doesn't?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows how to do their job. Why do you think Trump is firing all these people? he's firing these people because they don't know how, they can't do their job. They can't do their job. You've got people in the wrong places, and you've got the BLM, they're fighting for their lives because they don't have the faintest idea what their limit lines are.
Now, which BLM are you talking about now?
I'm talking about the land management. You're talking about this,
okay.
They've got all this land, and they've got all these people who want to buy it, but you've got all these people, conservationists, who don't want it sold. You've got Alaska, where you've got the Prudhomme, you know, Bay. You've got some of the biggest doggone oil reserves in the world that have been untapped in Alaska because they're mostly on.
Yeah, and Obama took it.
Wild.
Obama took twice the size of Texas out of the North Pole.
Okay. And he did what now? What was it?
Obama designated land, actually sea, ocean, that was twice the size of Texas.
That's a good thing.
So he added to the land the federal government owns. And that tells me that he's working for somebody other than the United States.
Wow.
Well, Obama was working for other people other than the United States per se. It wasn't against the United States. It was the banks. Obama worked for the banks. You got to remember. You got to understand.
But the banks aren't the United States. The cartel is not the U.S. We don't own the Federal Reserve cartel.
That's true. That's true. But
that's our collateral. And the
Don,
the
you're not really
president,
giving Obama much credence.
That's because he didn't
get any.
He didn't do a whole lot after DACA. After DACA and DABA and those are the until the end of his tenure, he had much done. You know, he was kind of a lame duck president after the legislature, the houses turned again. So he was, you know, he was doing the best he could with what he had to work with.
Right.
No, I wouldn't even give him that much. I would say he did everything he could get away with without going to jail.
Well, that's all a part of it. When you're dealing with any banking cartel, however you want to call it, you're dealing with the devil. You know, like we said before last week and week before, we're talking about the banks. Without drug money, without military money, the banks would be collapsed already. We'd be in dire straits without drug money. So that's why they keep the drugs pumping in.
Right, because our whole system has gotten out of whack. We
exactly.
Incentivize irresponsible behavior. We actually pay people to be irresponsible. We have more government programs than we can afford to pay for. And it's putting us into a backwards tailspin, and the only way out of it is to cut everything off and make everybody mad. The stuff that is costing us the most money is things that cost more than they actually produce. And you can look all the way up and down our economy, and you can find it everywhere. There's waste and money just thrown around, and by the time it gets to the end, it's gone. If you don't spend it all, then you don't get more next year. So it gets wasted all over.
I was just talking with some of our governmental officials about that. Why do we have to have our governmental agencies spend every dime they've been allotted? Don't they have programs that can be rebates to the taxpayers if they don't spend the money? That's one of the things I was talking to some of our governmental agencies about this week.
Good luck with that one.
Oh, I know. I know exactly, because for the most part, they're so entrenched in what they do that they don't have the capability of doing anything differently. So You know, but we're in a conundrum, and I'm out here trying to make sure that we get out of it, because somebody's got to do it, or else we're going to keep going in the same circle we've been going under. I'm going to have the Republic of Gallimore going to be in effect soon, so stay tuned.
What are you upset about?
Oh, I'm not upset about anything. I'm never upset. I just want to make sure that people understand what the kind of the truth is, what's real. And sometimes they overlook what's happening. You know, Obama was a second-year senator in Illinois. So there's no way that a man like that is supposed to be Hillary. And then...
No, it's because he didn't have a bad record. Hillary did. She's had a bad record ever since she started.
Right. Well, the thing is that was one, okay? Now, he beat, who's Mitt Romney? You know, if he's not supposed to beat Mitt Romney. I don't care if George Bush younger. I don't care if George Bush should be in jail right now or not. If anybody should be in jail, he should be. But the bottom line is that right now everything's working out like the people of the establishment wants, because Donald Trump is a dyed-in-the-wool liberal. He just is a racist liberal. And that's what, you know, that's why he couldn't stay on the Democratic Party. You know, so
Donald Trump is a racist. I think he's an opportunist.
I don't think Donald Trump's a racist.
I don't think he's a racist. I think he's old school in his thinking. I think kind of in the back of his mind he does think that white people should have first choice.
He's had many.
No.
Policies.
That's
he's
never been
lawsuits on his
good
property.
God.
I'm just saying, I don't really know. He looks at America in an old school kind of way, is what I'm saying.
Ben, look up how many lawsuits have been filed against him for his properties and racism.
I know all about that, and we don't have time to get into that.
When you have a lengthy record like he has, there's only one answer. There's only one conclusion you can make. But that's
business.
What conclusions can you make when you have multiple race lawsuits lost?
What's all the noise? I can barely hear you.
Yeah, that's Albert. I'm going to have to mute him. Albert, I'll pull you back in 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Don, I hope it's not you.
It's not me, but I will be putting you on hold in about 3 minutes. So I've got another call.
If we want people to listen to our show, we can't have a lot of background noise. It's very distracting and not pleasant to listen to.
We've been on.
75 minutes we've been on the air. I think we should start winding it up now. Okay?
Well, if you want to, I can give a conclusion and then I'm off because, like I said, I've got a ride coming. But
that's fine.
If that's what you want. That, you know, basically I had done.
Yeah, I do it because we've had a very concise time tonight. Everybody's stated their points of view in a concise manner. And it's not the kind of show we have to drag out.
Okay. Well, bottom line is that, like I said, that I'm trying to make sure that we stay on the right track with the truth. And we're working on making sure that we don't go backwards. If Donald Trump is not a racist, then he will rescind all of his things that his postulates about militarizing the police forces, tearing down the precepts of 21st century community policing task force that Obama mandated. He will, you know, this flat tax if it's 25% for businesses, maybe a good thing, bringing some money back offshore. So it'll strengthen up the dollar, but, you know, who cares? Too bad. But bottom line is that we're working on making sure that this is something that we're working on that will allow us to move smoothly into the future. So that's with that, I'm out. I appreciate it, everybody.
Thanks, Don. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Ben, if you don't mind, I'm going to go next. And then, Albert, I'm going to pull you back in 1 minute.
All right. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
My conclusion is that throughout the American land, we're looking at different types of confrontations. And because of the use of electronics nowadays, people are not afraid to stand up for their beliefs as far as confronting the government, either by video, by audio, by pictures. The Bundy family, they actually were not physically arrested until the standout up in Oregon on the refuge. They withstood the government for almost 19 years. They have inherent rights, and they did so because of their belief system. It's too bad that, as Ben stated, there hasn't been a wide exposure except for in people with like-minded thinking to their cause. However, we're trying to use this radio show as a vehicle for minority factions that we've discussed before on the show and government situations where the government is not protecting the minority faction. Because the Bundys did so much for the land, even before they were criticized for their use of land management and water rights and all that kind of stuff, they still had good intentions to enhance the area, make it a better place for all inhabitants, including the desert tortoise. And because of the two mistrials, maybe they should be let off the hook and released back to their land. They have no right to be sabotaged by perpetrators, as we have seen on the PBS Frontline. The government went in there and made a fake, they posed as independent filmmakers, and they try to make them look bad. They're just average citizens. They're not trying to leverage anybody for money or rip people off. And I'm glad we have this show to use this kind of vehicle to show their point of view. With that, I'm going to complete my conclusion. I'm pulling Albert back in, and either one of you can do your conclusion. Albert or Ben?
Go ahead, Albert.
Albert, are you prepared to make a statement?
I'm good. I'm going to feed my cat right now.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on mute, then you can just listen. Okay, go ahead, Ben. Finish it up.
Okay. So, you know, with this, it was basically a philosophical conversation that we've had. I didn't really mention names. I will now. No, I mean, the judge is basically the focal point right now. She's holding the authority. So Judge Gloria Navarro is in charge. With the help of Harry Reid, helped her get in. Obama signed her in. This was a
and
left
she's
issue.
A federal
and
circuit,
the,
she's a federal circuit judge?
Yeah, she's appointed by Obama. She was helped in there by Harry Reid. And the conflict of interest is just gross. I mean, it's a gross conflict of interest. Because Harry Reid was the one causing this problem with the help of the Department of Interior. You had Dan Love, who was the boss of the BLM, basically, corrupt as you can get. And Harry Reid was making backdoor deals with China in contact with the Department of Interior, basically right under the nose of Obama. He knew all
about
it. And
what did China want from us?
Land. Harry Reid was going to give them land.
Wow.
And Harry Reid happens to be basically the Bundy's neighbor. So for them to be all arrested, have the BLM come down with military force, that's another subject. The Bureau of Land Management shouldn't have a military. Where are those guys coming from? Who are they? I mean, they basically hire mercenaries to go do whatever they want to do.
Well,
these
it could have been another
nowhere,
arm
right?
of the government, another arm of law enforcement, like alcohol, fire, and tobacco, something like that.
Well, the FBI's got a team called Hostage Rescue, the HRT team. I know about that. And maybe that's
wow.
some of the, maybe that's where they get the guys from. But when the BLM calls an army like they did in Bunkerville, that's when we have a problem. When we have a bureaucratic agency that isn't even covered by the Constitution, it's basically outside of the Constitution. That's when we have a problem, and that's regardless of ideology. It's basically illegal. And this was never brought to a court case before. I mean, the federal government can't just send an army to your house and kill you over your cattle. That's basically what it came down to. People were going to die because of where cattle were living. And that's why a lot of people have a problem with it, but the news won't cover it because it's political. There's no way to get out of the politics of this issue because it's driven different ways by both sides. And when you have to face the judge that's put there by the people that make the decisions in the first place to point guns at you, that's a problem. It's never going to be a fair fight it's your name versus the United States. It's never going to work out good. But clearly,
there was a Latino congressman, and there was a Latino congressman in Oregon who supported the protesters at the Oregon Refuge Center, and she called the media attention to it.
Yeah, it didn't do enough. I didn't see any celebrities anywhere. Anywhere near this subject. Not one celebrity spoke up.
Right. Well, it would probably be someone like Clint Eastwood who could identify with people out there in the wilderness. You know what I mean?
Where was he? Where was, what's his name? Cat Scratch Fever.
You're talking about Ted, what's his face?
Yeah.
Ted Nugent?
Yeah. Where was Ted Nugent? He was nowhere to be found on this issue. This is a pretty big issue.
Well, I just closed
at the
window
time.
Of the article for the female Latino legislator up in Oregon, so I don't remember her name, unfortunately. Plenty of people knew about it, Ben, just not the right people.
Well, people didn't dig into it because if you just listened to a clip on the news or read a article like the LA Times guy, you think you know what's going on.
We just stated very bare-bone facts.
But
it probably wasn't until Lavoie Finnegan was shot, people started paying attention.
Well, a lot of
people
already were paying attention.
PBS Frontline covered a lot of the occupation on the land, and how the feds went in there and tried to manipulate it. So you have to try to find that special. I believe it's on Netflix.
Oregon Live covered it too.
Yeah, it's on cable on demand too.
Or the Oregonian, they covered it too for a while, but they were biased too. They were basically slipping language in there to try and spin
well,
it one way or the
other. Well, a lot of people on Twitter are complaining about it. So there is an active community. Okay.
Well, that's good. That's good because it can't just go unnoticed.
Well, people
this is a
like,
huge issue.
The news organizations, the secondary ones on YouTube are going to be covering the trial, if it ever goes to trial again. They can't. How long can they keep him in jail without? Do they formally charge him and do they have a court date? I know they formally charged him with interfering with feds, but
keeping them this long is illegal. Plain and simple. They even let rapists get out on bail. But these guys haven't broken any laws that they know of. Any laws that are they're accused of breaking is a matter of fighting that in court. But as you've seen people do heinous crimes and then they get let out on bail. And these guys are still held with no bail and even put in solitary confinement, and that's torture by definition.
Yeah, the radio show highlighted
that. Right. Solitary confinement by definition is torture. And these guys haven't seen a breath of fresh air for over almost 2 years now. In January,
well,
it'll be 2 years.
They also did it to my Milwaukee 14 people. If they brought a book to their prison job and they wanted to keep their books on their property, the Wisconsin correctional facility wouldn't let them. The priests keep their books during their prison work, and a couple of them got thrown into solitary. We know how the prison system works in America. They're not very patient and loving.
Right, but I guess the bigger issue would be the actual judge working hand in hand with the BLM, all of the witnesses. The judge is working with the prosecutor and the people that are testifying. And on top of all
It did mention in the radio interview that they had 38 expert witnesses, and they were all federal employees, probably so-called environmentalists. Talking about how the desert tortoise is threatened and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's nonsense. The judge gets to let witnesses that she lets witnesses talk however they want to win the case. But then when the defense gets their turn, she limits what they can say and what things that they can use for their defense, even who their lawyer can be. And that's not what a judge is there for. The judge is not supposed to be a prosecutor. The judge is supposed to be the referee.
Well, that's what the radio show said. Ultimately, the question is you have to look at the big picture. What do they want? Do they want all of the Bundy's land? Because they still have wives and children living on there. So I hope they're not trying to take all that away from them. But if they strap them with all those fights. If they strap them with all the financial fees, they're going to be crippled.
Right. I don't think they should be held liable for it. It comes down to a simple explanation. The government has to admit that they were wrong. And that's a huge admission because that changes everything all over the West. They don't want to do that. They're so heavily involved in being right that they're going to let this go as long as they possibly can. They'll probably end up just finding them guilty without a jury.
Can you think of another situation where the government had to admit they're wrong and reluctantly didn't want to?
No. I can't think of any situation where the government admitted they were wrong.
I mean, Muhammad Ali got four. I think he got 4 to 5 years in prison for refusing to join the draft. I wish I had some more legal arsenal on me right now, but I don't. So, let's just let's end the show now because I got to get to work in the morning. It's 12:30 in Minnesota.
All right.
All right.
Nice
talking to you. Thanks for enlightening us all. We appreciate it. I'm going to close it with one of John's songs. Okay? Good night.
Okay. Hey, where is John, by the way? You going to have him back on?
Yes, I invited him several times. I even gave him your number, gave you John's number. You need to coax him back in. Right now he's strapped with that secondary pet watching job. But I'll text you his number again, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'll
take
see
care.
You next time.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
To protect and the least resources to fund it. Please support the Bundy family as they're just a family trying to live their life out in their own way. with 140 years of grazing. They're not hurting the land. The land doesn't know any better. They improved the water quality there. Don't let the Bureau of Land Management dominate them unnecessarily. Good night.